السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Discussing from the kitab Beautiful Sunnah of Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم. فعارف بالله عز وجل أجلس ما شاء حكيم ومن أخذ صبر رحمة الله عليه. Tickets of Salah, males and females. Tickets of Salah, males and females. The gaze should be fixed on the place of sajda during qiyam, on the feet during ruku, on the nose during sajda, on the lap during qa'ada, and on the shoulders during salam. The gaze should be fixed on the place of sajda during qiyam, on the feet during ruku, on the nose during sajda, on the lap during qa'ada, and on the shoulders during salam. When one has the urge to yawn during salah, he should stifle it as much as possible. When one has an urge to yawn during salah, he should stifle it as much as possible. When one has an urge to cough during salah, one should try as much as possible to suppress it. When one has an urge to cough during salah, one should try as much as possible to suppress it. After every first salah, recite one of the following du'as. After salam, it is sunnah to recite astaghfirullah thrice. After every first salah, recite one of the following du'as. After salam, it is sunnah to recite thrice astaghfirullah. Thereafter, recite Allahumma anta salam. وَمِنْكَ السَّلَامُ تَبَارَكَ يَا ذَا الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. After every first salah, recite one of the following du'as. After salam, it is sunnah to recite astaghfirullah thrice. Thereafter, recite Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam tabaraka ya dha al-jalali wal ikram. Translation: O Allah, you are the possessor of peace. Peace can only be attained from you. You are full of blessings, O the powerful, the most kind. Translation: O Allah, you are the possessor of peace. Peace can only be attained from you. You are full of blessings, O the powerful, the most kind. What do you mean from the kitab effective remedies for spiritual maladies? Ta'arif billah hazrat al-aqtas wa nasha hakeem wa man akhtar sahab rahmatullahi alayh. Section 11, a befitting reward from the creator of sight for those that protect the gazes. A befitting reward from the creator of sight for those that protect the gazes. The first favor, it is reported in a hadith, he who protects his gaze will be granted the sweetness of iman. The first favor, it is reported in a hadith, he who protects his gaze will be granted the sweetness of iman. This is such a reward that it supersedes the pleasure of both the worlds, and it is granted on the meager sacrifice of the desires. This is such a reward that it supersedes the pleasure of both the worlds, and it is granted on the meager sacrifice of the desires. Marana Rumi Rahmatullahi Alayhi says, how benevolent is Allah. He claims half the life in sacrifice and striving and grants 100 lives in return. How benevolent is Allah. He claims half the life in sacrifice and striving and grants 100 lives in return. Besides the inferior pleasure of this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants a countless number of spiritual kingdoms to those that strive in his path. Besides the inferior pleasures of this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants a countless number of spiritual kingdoms to those that strive in his path. Second favor, The mu'min that lowers his gaze attains special proximity of Allah. It is reported in a hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, I am very close to the broken hearted. The mu'min that lowers his gaze attains the special proximity of Allah. It is reported in a hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, I am very close to the broken hearted. Due to lowering the gazes, the desire of the heart are certainly shattered. Due to lowering the gazes, the desire of the heart are certainly shattered, And this becomes the means of attaining the special proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Due to lowering the gazes, the desire of the heart are suddenly shattered, and this becomes the means of attaining the special proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that would not ordinarily be achieved by thousands of nawakil and askar. Due to lowering the gazes, the desire of the heart are certainly shattered, and this becomes the means of attaining the special proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that would not ordinarily be achieved by thousands of nawakil and askar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the tawfiq, committing to practice whatever it is.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألا إن أولياء الله لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. الذين آمنوا وكانوا يتقون. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: المجاهد من جاهد نفسه في طاعة الله، والمهاجر من هجر الخطايا والذنوب. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Most respected elders and brothers, our sisters who are listening and those who are listening on the streaming, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us the tawfiq to gather tonight. And the purpose and the objective of us gathering tonight is to remind ourselves, and being the month of Muharram, the new year has commenced for every single believer. So therefore, Allah Ta'ala has put it in the mind and in the heart to discuss a few aspects with regards to the month of Muharram and the object and the ultimate objective of that is that how we can change our lives, improve our lives in the true sense of the word. When we speak about improving our lives, we are not speaking about the material aspects, but we are speaking about the spiritual aspect of our lives. This is something extremely important, the spirituality. Last week, whilst discussing a lesson with the pupils, so we had come across the sunnahs of eating. Now these sunnahs that we discuss, there's great benefits in it, there's great barakat in it, there's great rahmat in it, there's hidayat for us. Allah Himself has mentioned, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنٌ. We have the best of examples in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is why Hazrat Wala Hazrat Shah Ki Maktasab Nawar Allah Maqadam has mentioned, نَقْشِ قَدَمْ نَبِي كَ هَي جَنَّتْ كَ رَاسْتَ Allah سَ مِلَاتِ هَي سُنَّتْ كَ رَاسْتَ. In following the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is actually the pathway to Jannah. You're on the road, on the highway to Jannah. You may regard it as something simple, a little sunnah of eating the food. But in that sunnah, this is an act of the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So nevertheless, if Allah Ta'ala put it in the heart, we must never attribute our abilities and our capabilities to ourselves, never. What are we? What do we really have? Allah Ta'ala is opening the mind with your barakat. Yusuf ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, when he had become the king, the ruler, after such trials and tribulations, after so much of difficulty, after such humiliation, his honor was at stake. He was accused of zina, He was accused of having an affair with the wife of the king. After all of that, finally when he becomes the king, finally when he raises his father and mother onto the throne, and when he honors those very brothers who were hard to him, those very brothers who had thrown him in the well, what were the words that he spoke? And Allah Ta'ala records it in the Quran and Majid for a specific reason. It's not a story. It's not just a mere story, but the lesson behind the story. So there he mentions, رَبِّ قَدْ آتَيْتَنِي مِنَ الْمُلْكِ وَعَلَّمْتَنِي مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِ. It is Allah Ta'ala who was the one who had granted me all these bounties. And then he says, وَقَدْ أَحْسَنَ بِي إِذْ أَخْرَجَنِي مِنَ السِّجْنِ وَجَاءَ بِكُم مِنَ الْبَدْوِ مِنْ بَعْدِ أَنْ نَزَغَ الشَّيْطَانُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ إِخْوَتِي. And then he speaks about how Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala had taken him out from the prison and granted him honor and respect. So there again, kindness to the brothers. He could have said that Allah was very kind to me after he took me out of the well. So then the brothers would have felt bad. He says, after Allah Ta'ala took me out of the prison, that was Allah's kindness. Look again, he didn't want to hurt the feelings of his brothers. مِن بَعْدِ أَن نَزَغَ الشَّيْطَانُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ إِخْوَتِي. After Allah had divided, caused a division between myself and my brothers. After shaytan. مِن بَعْدِ أَن نَزَغَ الشَّيْطَانُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ إِخْوَتِي. Shaytan had caused a division between myself and my brothers. So there was a total submission to the will of Allah Ta'ala. And the total credit went to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Never attribute anything to ourselves. Whenever we achieve something or someone praises us, immediately attribute it to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Hazrat, our Shaykh Hazrat, Shah Hakim Muhammad Mazhar Sahib, Halimul Ummah, Damat Barakatuh, Allah Ta'ala give him a long life, grant us tawfiq to appreciate and value him. And the real appreciation of the Shaykh, and the real khidmat of the Shaykh, is to make amal on his teachings. Shaykh Wasilullah Rahmatullah Ali used to say that some of you press my legs, some of you press my legs, but that doesn't really bring me happiness. And some of you don't press my legs, but your actions bring me great happiness. So some people are pressing this Hazrat's legs, they're massaging him, but the actions are causing more taklif to the Shaykh than anything else. The actions are causing more taklif to the Shaykh. They appear to be the closest, but yet they are the furthest from the Shaykh. The heart is not attached. And some people are very far from the Shaykh. But the Shaykh, due to the actions of that person, his heart is close to the Shaykh. And similarly, as the Tanvi Rahmatullah used to say, one person mentioned that, Hazrat, how I wish I was staying in Medina Sharif. So he's mentioned that sometimes a person, he can be living far away from Medina Sharif, but his heart is close to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And sometimes a person can be living right in Medina Sharif, but his heart is far away from Rasulullah. We know what happens in Medina Sharif. People right there, glued to the television screens, committing zina and certain sins that they are committing. You must not be judgmental, perhaps you can make tawbah and istighfar, but this is the reality. The person can be far away from Medina Sharif, but he can be close to Rasulullah SAW. That is why when Hazrat Wala passed away, some people saw in a dream that from his grave was attached to Medina Sharif. So the Basharat, the meaning that although he passed away far, far away from Medina Sharif, but it was as if he was very close to Rasulullah SAW. And other interpretations. So, never attribute. Our Hazrat mentioned that if you look at anything, now look for example this water here that's in the cup. So everybody will say this is fresh, clean water, healthy water, refreshing water, especially on a hot day when the water is cold. How a person appreciates it. So Hazrat gives the example of Nestle Kapani. Nestle, Pakistan, you see that. Shouldn't be drinking the water, you get sick there. So Nestle bottle of water you have. So you say this is Nestle water, this is Zamzam water. Even better, Zamzam water. But as soon as that water goes in the system and comes out, now it is urine, it's filthy, it's impure. One drop of that goes in the water, it's a problem. Person has biryani, Jummah day, lovely biryani, subhanallah. It's got a beautiful fragrance. Person walking past, mouth starts drooling, it becomes hungry. But when the same biryani goes in the system of the human being, that's spoiled. What happened? The nisbah changed. Previously, that water, we said this is water that came from us. Allah sent the water. Allah ki taraf se. This water is from Allah ta'ala. This biryani, the rice is from Allah ta'ala. All the ingredients, the saffron, everything is from Allah ta'ala. The salt is from Allah ta'ala. It's all attributed to Allah ta'ala. But now when in insan, this is the byproduct of insan. This is the outcome, output from insan. Export of insan. Now it's spoiled. The same way, when we start attributing things to know, you say, ah, this is what I did, this is my achievement, this is my work, and I was the one who did this, and we want to take credit for everything else, we've spoiled it. But when we keep on attributing everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. And this was the quality of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam and the quality of the Ahlullah. Never attribute anything to ourselves, and Allah constantly teaches us this lesson. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alam. Every day you are reminding yourself ke tamam tarif hai Allah hi ke liye. All praises belong to Allah. Even if somebody is praising you, then we must tell ourselves. As Maulvi Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, that if somebody praises you, don't say anything. Just say, may Allah accept your good opinion. May Allah accept your good. So sometimes when you start responding, no, I am not like that. I am not the one, you know, it's just your, you know. Then sometimes more pride comes. Because then the person will say, subhanallah, look at your tawazu, mashallah, what the humility you have. Now it only increases. He gave a large to one person who was suffering from pride. So he told that person that I want you to, every day when the musallis walk in the masjid, you take the shoes and you put it in the shoe racks. That's your one. And he happened to be a very wealthy person. So that was the ilaj that was given to him. So some years later, one mufti or an alim was reading that. So he said, no, I also feel I got a bit of pride. So he went and he started doing that to all the musallis that were coming in. So Mufti Shafiz Rahmatullah heard about this, so he said, no. If you do that, your pride will increase. Because now people say, Mufti Sahib, you, how can you be straightening my shoes? So Mufti Sahib, hey, you are the Allama of the time. Look at how much, so now it's going to increase the pride. That's why you need, the Sheikh is the one who can actually keep that pride. Find that solution and prescription, give that prescription to completely take away that pride. Maulvi Sahib Rahmatullah was really talented in this, mashallah. Is to perform an operation without a knife. Without a knife is to perform the operation. I remember one musalli, it was Ramadan, i'tikaf, very regular, very elderly person too, in the 50s. Not very elderly, but in his 50s, not a youngster. So we had come as students, now we are young students, we were still learning. So Hazrat Rahmatullah told us we must go on the right hand side of the masjid, as we call that the ICU section. So we had to go on the right hand side. So he called that brother, he told him, but you know, all the students came here now. So you take your bags and you go and sleep there with the others, the normal, ordinary tent, general one, you go that second. The way Hazrat also mentioned it was quite straightforward. But mashallah, that person immediately did it, complied. And Hazrat just stood there and watched him. After that, the person came back and said, mashallah, I was watching you. I was seeing if there was any pride. If there's one of us, immediately, and there was an incident where another person became very upset. He was like, we are so many years and why we have to go? Well, I thought this would be very okay, never mind. But he actually failed the test. And this person, he had inhalated himself. Okay, you tell me to sleep outside? No problem. outside. I don't even deserve sleeping in the masjid. It's only your shafqat hazrat that you're allowing me to sleep in the masjid. But now I am so filthy that I should rather be sleeping in the toilets. That's when a person really annihilates himself completely, regards himself as absolutely nothing. Today, unfortunately, we spend time in the company of the shaykh and this fana yet is not taking place. This is the real maqsad of going to the shaykh, to make fana of that ananiyat. Meto kuch bhi nahi, I'm absolutely nothing. When you sit in front of the shaykh and you see how he's shining, and you see his taqwa, and you see the condition of his salah, and you see his dua, and you see his crying before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you see his humility, then you look at yourself and say, whatever. Absolutely nothing. That's the objective of going to the shaykh and sitting in the company. Everything else is by them. Unfortunately, shaitan makes a concerted effort to destroy it and spoil this effort that is taking place, or this effort of tasawuf, this effort of going in the company of the shaykh. Shaitan makes an effort to spoil it. That's his work. He doesn't want to see us progressing. Lots of fitna starts when the company of him. Politics starts, and this problem starts, and that one becomes upset, and jealousy starts. The shaykh showed a little more shafqat or love to that another person. Hazrat Ahmadullah, so many times we'll give explanation. Brothers, some of you are with us for a very long time. We need to now win over the new brothers. So Hazrat, when the new brothers come in, so he gives them a little extra attention, he sits in the car, some people get upset. Hazrat, no more now, they're not interested. So often, then you have to tell the person, no, Hazrat, you know all the time, these people are coming from outside, Hazrat, sitting with them now. All the jealousy starts, this bad thoughts start. Why is Hazrat only sitting in this car? Because you've got a very nice car this one. One time Hazrat mentioned that I feel a bit more comfortable in this car because the door was slightly higher and Hazrat's heart, sometimes the heart will be painful, so it seems difficult to crouch down in the other car. Shaitan, it's nothing but shaitan. Shaitan whispers these thoughts. Keep the heart, when it comes to the mashayikh, keep your heart clean. Keep your heart clean. There will be lots of things and lots of statements and lots of actions of others. Focus yourself on the shaykh, and Allah Ta'ala will put certain people around the shaykh that will push you away. But if the khadim of the shaykh is like this, then I don't think I'd rather go somewhere else. But that again is a test. That again is a test. Look at Nuh ala Nabiyina alayhi salatu wasalam. His son was a kafir. His son was a disbeliever. Lut alayhi salam, his wife was a disbeliever. So Allah Ta'ala sometimes tests the person through his own children. That is why Imam Yusuf rahmatullah very often used to say, never judge the shaykh by looking at the children and family, close relatives. Sometimes he used to say that, unfortunately, many a times, the mashayikh, the people who least benefit from the mashayikh are the close relatives. Because they take it for granted, this is our father, this is our uncle, this is our husband. Nothing. They don't benefit. And many times the wives. The one sheikh, the famous incident, you heard many times. So he never ever really accepted the sheikh as a sheikh. And Allah Ta'ala test him through that way. So one time the sheikh decided, you know, told his wife, listen, if the sheikh can fly on the carpet, then you will accept the sheikh. Said, yeah, then you will be the sheikh. So she happened to be in a courtyard, so the sheikh made dua, and then he, on the carpet, he started flying past this way, that way. So he came home later. The wife said, do you think you are a sheikh? What kind of sheikh you are? Today I really saw a sheikh. I saw the sheikh flying on the carpet and everything. So he looked down and he says, oh dear wife, that was me. So she said, oh, that's why you're flying so crooked. That's why you're flying so crooked. So they don't really, not always, but very often you'll find that the wives and the children don't really benefit. In fact, one alim was mentioning, it was very, very seldom you'll find that the father and the son are of the same caliber. And this is a rare incident here, in this case here. Hazrat Wala and Hazrat Shaqi Mohammad Mazir Sahib, both of them, mashallah, both of them are such a. Both of them. So, nevertheless, this is the real objective to make fana'iyat of ourselves, to annihilate ourselves. This is the objective of this entire tasawwuf, completely spiritually purify our hearts. So this month of Muharram, coming back to the topic, I don't know where we went off from which point, but in any case, this month of Muharram is a very blessed month. And we make shukr that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us an opportunity to witness another month of Muharram. However, as a Muslim, the dawn of a new year is not a time for celebration. Muslim doesn't celebrate the passing of time. Birthdays, the people celebrate their birthdays, 21st birthday is celebrated. 21 years sometimes, or 15 years or 16 years of guna and still we celebrate. Very happy, 16 years. And each year that passes, it's actually 1 year closer to the grave. Celebrating, getting closer to the qabr. I haven't changed my life, celebrating. Person doesn't celebrate that. Actually, if you really ponder and think that when one more year passes, the person should sit down and he actually should be tearing and crying, to, Ya Allah, there's one less Ramadan for my life now. There's one less Muharram for my life. I wasted this Ramadan that passed by. I didn't really do justice to this Ramadan that passed by. I didn't really make sincere tawbah and istighfar. I'm still the way I am. I still have those bad habits. Now my life is melting away like a block of ice. I don't know whether I'm going to get another opportunity. So the person should actually make the, you know, New Year resolutions. What's your New Year resolution? So the New Year, our New Year resolution, it should be the lessons that we can learn from the month of Muharram. In fact, ulama ikram has stated that there's a lot of barakah in the month of Muharram, and especially the 10th of Muharram. Ulama ikram have mentioned that if a person makes a firm resolution and niyat and azam on this 10th of Muharram and in the month of Muharram, a good resolution, the barakah of that, inshallah, will remain evident throughout the year. So therefore, let us make firm resolutions in this month of Muharram, specifically the 10th of Muharram that is coming now. And what are those resolutions? Now, for example, we know that the month of Muharram, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Hijri calendar commenced on the Hijrat. The calendar of Islam commenced on the Hijrat, not on the birthday of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Islam didn't attach any importance to birthdays. People say, but the birthday of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a very great thing. We have to understand that in order to understand Islam, you must study the lives of those who were closest to Rasulullah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi mentioned that after I pass away, eventually there will be 73 different groups in my ummah. All of them will be in the fire of Jahannam except one. Sahaba ikram were very concerned. Ya Rasulullah, which group will that be? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi said, Ma ana alayhi wa ashabi. Those who follow my way and the way of my companions. Follow the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the way of companions. Ask ourselves the question. After Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, Nabi Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, the greatest in the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned with regards to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he said that every single person in my ummah, I have paid him back for his favors upon me. But there is one person I haven't paid back, and that is Abu Bakr. Once is Aisha radiallahu anha, the respected and beloved wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said, Ya Rasulullah, is there anyone in your ummah who has as many good deeds as the stars in the sky? So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this Umar. So she became a bit saddened with her father now. So she said, Ya Rasulullah, my father? So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded that, oh Aisha, the good deeds of your father's one day, his one day of good deeds, is more than the good deeds of the entire ummah put together. And there are many reasons for that. If you think about it, who was the first to have accepted Islam? Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Upon his acceptance of Islam, Allah Ta'ala caused Islam to spread. Upon his sacrifices, today you and I are Muslims. In other words, every single good deed that every ummati of Rasulullah does will also go into the bank account, so to say, akhirat, the bank of the akhirat of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu. That one night in the cave with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu once came to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu and said, "Oh, Abu Bakr, I've tried to beat you on many occasions. But anyway, I want to make a deal with you. We normally talk business, dunya. What's that?" He said, "I'm prepared to give you all my good deeds, everything. All my good deeds. I want you to give me the thawab which you received on that one night that you spent with Rasulullah in the cave of Tawbah." When Nabi Kareem was making his hijrah, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he was the one who purchased the camel. He purchased two camels, one for himself and one for Rasulullah, to make that journey from Makkah to Mukarramah to Madinah Shaykh. Nabi Kareem Sahasam didn't allow anyone to travel with him. He said, "Allah has instructed me to travel with you." Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, the way he cried when he heard that, it was very soft hearted. So he traveled with Nabi Kareem Sahasam and he was continuously on one moment of the journey, he's on the right hand side, then he's on the left hand side, then he's in front, then he's in behind. Nabi Sahasam said, "What's happening? What's..." He said, "I'm concerned. Sometimes I fear the enemy will attack from the right hand side and I go on that side. And sometimes I fear the enemy will attack on the left hand side and I go on that side. Then sometimes I fear the enemy will attack in front and I go in front. And then sometimes..." What love for Rasulullah. Then the cave, when they reach that cave, and it's such a climb. So when they reach the cave, so he told Nabi Kareem Sassam, "Ya Rasulullah, you wait outside. Look at that adab and that respect for Rasulullah. You wait outside." And he was an ordinary person. He was a wealth. Allah had blessed him with such wealth. He used every single cent of his for Rasulullah. He sacrificed his daughter. He sacrificed his land. He sacrificed his hometown. He sacrificed his wealth for Rasulullah and for the deen of Islam. He entered the cave and then he cleaned everything out. He took his upper garment that he had and he tore it into bits and pieces and covered every hole that was there. Then he said, "Ya Rasulullah, now you may enter." There was one hole that was left. Placed his foot there. The Nabi Kareem Sahasam placed his Mubarak head on the lap of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. Imagine, subhanAllah, that sun in the lap of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. Shining, illuminated sun of Rasulullah. Imagine casting his gaze on the Mubarak Chehra of Nabi Kareem Sahasam. Allah. While sitting there, some scorpion, and some ulama say it was a snake, whatever it was, it bit Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. But he kept his foot there. He said, "My Rasulullah is resting. I am experiencing pain. But I'd rather my life be sacrificed than I disturb the Mubarak sleep of Rasulullah." But the pain was so intense that he started tearing. Naturally, human body. And one tear fell on the Mubarak face of Rasulullah. Nabi Kareem Sahasam saw immediately what is wrong. Nabi Kareem Sahasam placed his Mubarak saliva on the feet of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. Those who say that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, a'udhu billahi min dhalik, was a disbeliever and became a kafir, would Nabi Kareem Sahasam place his saliva on the carpet? What kind of disrespect? In any case, this was the kind of respect and love he had one time in Madinah Sharif. Now his condition in Madinah Sharif, everything was gone, sacrificed. So he was sitting in the company of Rasulullah. His garment, for buttons he had thorns. For buttons, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, to keep his garment together he had thorns. While in that condition, as the Jibreel alayhi salam descends, he asked Nabi Kareem Sahasam, "Who is this?" Nabi Kareem Sahasam said, "Oh, Jibreel, you don't know who he is?" He says, "No, I know very well who he is. But his condition in Madina Sharif was such that he had absolute wealth. And now he is like this here. How is that? Ask him, is he happy in the condition that he is?" She says, "Why are you asking?" He says, "No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent salam to him. And has asked that, is he happy in the condition that he is? Abu Bakr Siddiq, when he heard this, he began crying and he started saying, Raditu ana radin an Rabbi, ana radin an Rabbi. I am pleased with my Allah, I am pleased with my Allah. That salam from Allah was more valuable than everything that he needed. More valuable. The battle of Tabuk, Nabi Kareem Sassam made the call, all those who want to give for the deen of Allah Ta'ala, give. Many sahaba came and brought many things. Umar radiallahu anhu said, this time definitely I am going to beat Abu Bakr. So he said, that's it. Half, divide my entire wealth into two portions. Half is going for the deen of Allah. Presented it before Nabi Kareem. After a little while, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu came with a few things very forward. Hardly anything. And he felt, no, alhamdulillah, this time. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Abu Bakr Siddiq, Ya Abu Bakr, or he asked Umar radiallahu anhu, what have you left? He said, Ya Rasulullah, half my wealth I have left for my family. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him du'as. When Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu came, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, Abu Bakr, what have you left for your family? He said, I have left Allah and His Rasul. It is mentioned that even the nail that he had in the house, that nail, he took it out, a nail maybe for hanging something, he took that nail out and put it in prison. Umar radiallahu anhu said, from that occasion I realized that it is impossible for me to surpass that Abu Bakr Siddiq. That was the sacrifice of Abu Bakr Siddiq, that hijrat, that entire hijrat. Coming back to that incident which I was saying complete, that sunnahs of food that we were discussing with the students. So in the sunnahs of food, it is mentioned there that one of the sunnahs in the adab of food is that when we are putting our dastarkhan down, we should always put a cloth and then put the food. In other words, do not sit on the ground and put the food on the ground as well. Even if it's a simple little cloth. So technically speaking, the food is slightly higher and there's a kind of adab and respect to the food. So Allah Ta'ala put it in the heart. I mentioned to the students that Allah Ta'ala and Nabi Kareem Sassam are teaching us adab and respect for food. We have to respect food. You do not throw food away. To such an extent, it's mentioned that you should first sit down on the table and then bring the food. Of course, if the food is covered, then it's different. And similarly, when you get up from the table, first have somebody pick up all the food items and then you get up. Out of respect for the food. We are in need of the food is not in need. So I imagine food is physical nourishment. But for physical nourishment, we have to make adab and we have to show adab and respect. So I said, can you imagine when it comes to spiritual nourishment? Physical nourishment is confined to this world. And spiritual nourishment is not only confined to this world, but rather it encompasses both this world and the akhirah. Therefore, if we show so much of respect for physical nourishment, how much more respect should we be showing for spiritual nourishment? No offense to those who are leaning. Sometimes some people are elderly, some people are weak, some people are tired, it's different, no problem. But generally when it comes to food, it's mentioned that one should never lean and eat. One should never lean and eat food. This is why the ulama ikram state when it comes to the bayans, we're going for a Jummah bayan, if we are not tired, if we are not weak or elderly, especially the youngsters, we should avoid sitting in the walls and leaning and relaxing out of respect for that spiritual nourishment that we will be getting from the minbar. And the more adab and respect we show, the more we will benefit from it. The more barakat there will be in that nourishment which we are receiving. So inshallah, coming back to the month of Muharram, this Hijri calendar, as Umar radiallahu anhu started the Hijri calendar on, that's why we call it Hijri, upon the Hijrat of Rasulullah, not the birth. And those who celebrate the birthdays of people and the birthday of Rasulullah, they should ask themselves a simple question. Some of them get upset when you do not celebrate. Simple question is, study the life of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Who is the closest to Rasulullah? Who is the greatest in the ummah? One occasion, and this we heard from Hazrat Muawiyah rahmatullahi, he used to say, show me one occasion that Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu celebrated the birthday of Rasulullah. Study the life of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. Show me one occasion that Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu celebrated the birthday of Rasulullah. Study the life of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu. Zul Nurain, the son-in-law of Rasulullah, the possessor of two lights. Nabi Kareem sallallahu married two of his daughters to Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu. And he said, if I had a third, I would have married her too. Shows his integrity. Nabi Kareem sallallahu had so much of respect for Uthman radiallahu anhu. That when Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu would be entering his majlis, the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu is seeking permission to enter your majlis. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu said, tell him, wait. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu would sit straight, would put his kurta straight. He said, now tell him to enter. That's how respect he had. He was a person who was very bashful. Nabi Kareem sallallahu considered that. Study his life. Not on one occasion did he see him celebrating the birthday of Rasulullah. Study the life of Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. So if these great illustrious companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't attach importance to the birthday of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu didn't say we're starting the calendar upon the birthday of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said no, we will start the calendar upon the hijrah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Makkatul Mukarramah Madinah. He wanted to teach the ummah till the day of Qiyamah this quality of hijrah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu mentioned in the hadith, Al-Mujahidu man jahada nafsahu fi ta'atillah. The true mujahid, the real mujahid, is the one who fights his nafs in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. He struggles with his nafs in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. That's the real mujahid. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu mentioned the true mujahid, wal-muhajir. The real muhajir is the one man hajar al-khataya wal-dhunub, who migrates and moves away from guna and sins. Like a person when he migrates, he leaves one country for another country. So the person, we should consider ourselves being engrossed in the life of guna and sins. We are living in guna and sins. We are living in an environment of guna and sins. So we must now make hijrah and move out of the sins and come into the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That this is the month of Muharram. The hijri calendar started with hijrah. I, Ya Allah, will make my hijrah and I will move away from guna and sins. I will discard and throw out guna and sins from my life. Yes, there will be some pain. Adi Sahib read about that pain. The person who breaks his heart. Allah is with the broken hearted person. The person who breaks his heart for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. I'll shatter my heart into a million pieces. But Ya Allah, I will not violate one command of yours. Person breaks his heart, that is the real mujahid. The person who makes that hijrah, he is the real muhajir. Each and every one of us can become a metaphorical muhajir, a metaphorical migrator to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is one very important lesson in this month of Muharram. And now we will terminate, time is expiring. So we will terminate on the aspects of the 10th of Muharram. It is a very Mubarak day. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to fast and used to make it prior to the month of Ramadan. This fast of Ashura used to be compulsory. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam would always keep this fast. Then of course when he heard that the Jews were keeping this fast, he asked them, why are you fasting? So they mentioned, no, you see, Allah Ta'ala saved Musa alayhi salam from Fir'aun on this particular day. So he said that, he told the Sahaba ikram, that if I'm alive next year, then I will fast on the 9th and 10th. And then he said, Khariful Yahud, that you oppose the way of the Jews. We are closer to Musa alayhi salam than them. So therefore, but unfortunately, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away before then. So therefore, ulama ikram has stated that those who wish to fast, this sunnah is not compulsory. We shouldn't look down upon those who are not fasting. But if a person wants to keep that fast, then he should fast the 9th and 10th, or the 10th and the 11th. This is sunnah, to fast these 2 days. And similarly, it is mentioned in the riwayah that a person who spends on his immediate family, here two people have commercialized the whole thing, can get some Muharram gifts from our shop. Commercialize it. So that exchanging of gifts, and now the whole family is starting to give, and then these things is becoming customs. We should be careful of that. What Nabi Kareem said, remember, deen is easy. And whenever something is happening in deen which is making things complicated, now imagine the poor person. Now the whole family, everybody is giving big gifts to the whole family. Now that poor person can't even afford, how is he going to feel? Sharia didn't make it difficult for him. What Islam said is that a person on the day of Ashura, if he gives, spends a little extra on his immediate family in terms of food, puts one extra dish, extra curry on the table, little extra few things in terms of food on the table, Allah Ta'ala will extend and bless him for the rest and grant barakat in his rizq for the rest of the year. And then Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf Rahmatullahi used to always make islah on this. He said, MashaAllah, this particular one, everybody, no, I want barakat in the whole year. So here we go out of our. Hazrat Rahmatullahi used to say, they put it in its context. Who was Rasulullah s.a.w. addressing? When Nabi Karim s.a.w. mentioned this, who was he addressing? Sahaba Ikram. What was the lifestyle of Sahaba Ikram? Obedience. Right or wrong? They were in obedience. Whatever Nabi Karim s.a.w. said, they made amal. If they committed a sin, they said, Ya Rasulullah, we have committed this guna, it's sin, cleanse us. There is no hypocrisy. Nabi Karim s.a.w. told them, those who had obedience in their lives, that if you will spend a little extra on your family, Allah will give you barakat for the rest of the year. Now what we do, what I do, is I commit guna and sins, every other sin I'm committing, and then on 10th of Muharram, spend a little extra. And now we expect barakat to come. I say, I got no barakat, but I spend the Ashura. Interest in the business, got a house is on bond, this deal we're doing, not fulfilling the sunnahs of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, not performing our salah, fraud, lies, deception, abuse of the wife, that's fine, no problem. That won't remove barakah from my life. But if I spend on Ashura, I will not get barakah. So we have to understand, even if a person did not spend on Ashura, but he stayed in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala, he will have barakah in his life even. This is the real thing that will bring barakah. People want to put ta'weezes in the house and ayatul kursi and all that, and in the same house there's guna taking place. It can't work. It's like the person who's switching on the aircon in the 50 degree heat, he switches on the aircon in the car and he keeps all the windows wide open. You see, the aircon is not really cooling the car. It's not really cooling it. You haven't closed the windows. You close the window to guna and sins in our lives, then switch on that aircon. And you feel the coolness. In the same way, give up guna and sins from our lives, spend on Ashura, and then inshallah you'll see the barakah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Wa la'atibatul muttaqeen. Wa salatu wa salam. Ala ashrafil anbiya'i al-mursaleen. Wa kareem, raheem, wa sufadim, lawi, kareem, Allah. Ya Allah, one more year is passed from our lives, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, our entire year, Ya Allah, so much of guna and sin, disobedience, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we use your bounties, Ya Allah, for your displeasure and your disobedience, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you bless us with our eyes, with our ears, our hands and feet, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, on so many occasions, Ya Allah, we use these very bounties for your disobedience, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we have one more opportunity, Ya Allah. It is another month of Muharram, Ya Allah. Allah, we do not know whether we will see this entire year, Ya Allah. But oh Allah, we are raising our begging bowls, Ya Allah. Allah, we are extremely weak, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are weak, Ya Allah. Sahaba al-Ikram, Ya Allah, how strong they were, Ya Allah. What kind of mahabbat they had for Rasulullah s.a.w. What kind of, Ya Allah, mujahada they had, Ya Allah. What kind of hijrat they made, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are absolutely weak, Ya Allah. But Ya Allah, you are not weak, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we are begging you, Ya Allah. You grant us the himmat and the courage and the strength, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, this coming year, Ya Allah, let us, Ya Allah, not spend a single moment of this year in your disobedience, Ya Allah. Allah, let us not spend a single second of this year in your ghaflat, Ya Allah, in negligence, Ya Allah. Allah, our lives are melting away like a block of ice on a sunny day, Ya Allah. Allah, we are witnessing people suddenly, Ya Allah, fit and healthy. The person is fit and healthy and suddenly, Ya Allah, in a hospital and within 3 or 4 days, the person is gone. God, everything finished, Ya Allah. Entire world comes to an end, Ya Allah. All that asal and basal comes to an end, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we have not realized, Ya Allah, that the angel of death is waiting, Ya Allah. He's waiting behind us, Ya Allah. He's just waiting for that opportunity at that moment, Ya Allah, to strike, Ya Allah. And we think we're going to live forever, Ya Allah. Allah, give us the realization, Ya Allah. that the angel of death can strike at any moment, Ya Allah. At any second, Ya Allah. Anywhere, Ya Allah. Anyhow, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, let us be ever ready for that death, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, let not the angel of death find us in any guna except, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, take us to Madina Sharif, Ya Allah. When the time of death comes, Ya Allah, take us to Madina Sharif, Ya Allah. The Roma of Mubarak of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As-salatu wa as-salamu alayka, Ya Rasulullah. Because our souls be back, Ya Allah. Allah, fill our hearts with the ishq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, what love has Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu had for him? Allah, give us a fraction of that love, Ya Allah. Even a fraction of that love is sufficient for the whole ummah. Oh Allah, what love they had, Ya Allah. They were prepared to sacrifice everything, Ya Allah. Even if their bodies were cut to pieces, Ya Allah, they were prepared to do that, Ya Allah. But not even a thorn should prick Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, give us, Ya Allah, a fraction of their love, Ya Allah. Allah, fill our hearts with your muhabbat, Ya Allah. Allah, let us make fana of ourselves, Ya Allah. Our hearts are full of pride and arrogance, Ya Allah. Allah, purify our hearts, Ya Allah. How are we in suala with you? Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alayhi wa sallim.